I think one of the biggest things that causes confusion in our life is not understanding the Word of God. Now, let's understand that all of us have access to truly understand the Word of God if we do it the way God says. We've been prone and deceived into believing the lie that I can't believe, that I'm not smart enough. But no, God has given every Christian the ability to receive the word in order for it to be used as instruction for life. A big part of it is how to receive the word. Now, one thing Satan has tried from the beginning is given men the wrong way to receive the word. And then in turn, man has become confused. And also having man lean upon the wrong resources in order to understand instead of leaning upon the spirit that he gives. All of this is very dangerous, and it's one of the reasons why so many who call themselves Christians today are so lost, making up and saying things that are misleading to others and just causing a domino effect when it comes to walking in the spirit and doing what we're supposed to, because we don't understand and not receiving what the word says. So going into 2021, we all need to come in and going to church with the right purpose and the right understanding. The name of this order, my steps, is how to receive the word of God. So it's not just that I am receiving it, how am I receiving it? Because a lot of people think they are, while in reality, they're not. We always talk about it as a feeding, okay? And in the same way as we here in America have destroyed food because we eat for the wrong purpose, that food has gone into our system and we live because we eat, but we're malnutritioned, we're overweight. Why? Because we've distorted the food to fit our purpose instead of eating the food for the right purpose. Places that eat food for sustenance don't experience the same problems as we do. Once again, we do it for pleasure and we do it for money with all the preservatives and all that other stuff. This ministry is not on food, it's on spiritual food. The spiritual food of the word, and how am I supposed to receive it? Hopefully, you'll be blessed by what this message brings to you, and that your focus will be that much more spiritualized when you now go to church and when you sit down and you read the word. First of all, we all need to go to church purposefully. You have to have a focus of why am I going here? We see in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 2, he says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Now, if all of us would do this, people would go with a purpose. Now, being a minister, I've noticed, and you just look out in the congregation and you talk to people afterwards, a lot of people go just to say they went, which is very disturbing in itself. They have no idea what's being taught to them. And be honest with you, some of them really aren't trying to have an idea of what's being taught to them. We're focused on so many other things. We allow our desires to get in the way. So then we allow ourselves to become bored or we allow ourselves to become distracted. You can see people somewhere else, looking elsewhere and not receiving. Now, what they don't realize is they're only hurting themselves. That's why he gives this first thing, guard your steps when you go to the house of the Lord. You're saying, I don't care what's happening around me. I don't care what's going on in my life. I must receive this word. And he says it here, go near to listen. So that's your job. You're coming to church to do what? To listen. I got to receive it. If nothing else, I need to hear what the word is saying. Very important. We'll show why that's important. Rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. You have a lot call themselves Christians, and the stuff you hear them say are so way out there and so dangerous. That's why it's called a sacrifice of fools. I think they really think in their heart of hearts, I'm going to present this to God and he's going to receive it because I'm so wholesome and I mean well. While in reality, the Bible tells you that was foolish. Where'd you get that from? But if you go there to listen, it'll give you clarity and understanding based on him. That's why he says in verse 2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. So we're not going there for God to prove us right. We're going there to get his answer. I have to go there totally rejecting everything of me in order to truly receive him. He says, God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. If we would go to church just to receive, you'd be surprised how many people will come to me and they already have their own agenda and their own thought of God. So they go there to kind of debate what they're hearing. And I always have to go back to, I hear what you're saying, but the word says. I see what you're saying, but the word says. It's very rare that I get, hey, the word says, but you said the word says. That's great if they did that. Then they're straightening me out as the message giver. And I want that. And you want that. However, what I usually hear is, I heard from this expert. I read on the internet. I heard from this other minister. And I'll go, but where is what they said in the Bible? Don't give me a history lesson or some intellectual trying to distort what I have in front of me, because the only thing I go by, the only thing you should go by, is the Word of God. We see that the message must be spiritually given and spiritually received. And it's necessary because if I use the internet, intellect, emotion, culture, and anything to distort the Word, it's going to cause confusion, and I'm taking you now outside of God. But he made clear, and this is what every minister must hear, that's the giver of the word, and those who receive the word must understand, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. It says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. You catch that? Okay, so he's saying, first of all, I'm not going to these teachers who are going to give me these fantastical sounding historical facts, which they sound great themselves, but I can't find it in God's word. You know what I mean? And we pass down a lot of tradition taught by men, which once again sounds great, but I can't find it in the word. Now, the word itself is spiritual. That's why he's saying, I'm teaching not words taught by this human, but words taught by Spirit, the Word of God, expressing what? Spiritual truths in spiritual words. Spiritual truths, so what it's giving me is the answer, and it's the spiritual answer. Remember, everything we deal with is spiritual and spiritual words. It tells me what love really means compared to what the world tries to tell me love means. You understand that? So the words I get, I have to get the definition from the Bible. If I didn't know any better, I'll think peace is based on my circumstances and the people around me. That's worldly peace. While godly peace is something much stronger. It's a peace that transcends all understanding. And it comes from him that I have access to. And it's despite my situation. But I only know that when I receive this spiritual truth from the spiritual words. And he makes something clear here. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Now, if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't access the Holy Spirit in order to understand the word, you're lost. This is why we'll read and we get frustrated and we get angry, because either you're a non-Christian or you're a Christian still trying to use you. This is one of the main reasons Jesus said we must deny ourselves in order to be his disciple. Because if I allow me to get in there, my understanding is going to get in the way. And I'm going to try to understand based on me. And now I'm stuck. And now I'm going to go in this vicious circle. And I will not grow. And you're going to see it could either put me in danger or extreme discomfort. And we're going to talk about where I fall in that. Because this is, without the Spirit, what I'm hearing in the word, foolishness. And we see it today when we talk about marriage, we talk about who heads the church, we talk about certain activities. People are going, this is foolish, because they're trying to understand it with something else other than the Spirit. He makes clear, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And what that means, of course, is that I need the Spirit to understand it. The Spirit is my translator. The Spirit is what I use to understand what the Spirit is telling me. It's like a totally different language. I need this translator. So if I'm not using the Spirit and I try to use anything else, I'm lost. That's why you see people who foolishly, when they talk to somebody of another language, will start speaking louder, right? And for some odd reason, we act like they're deaf. No, they just speak another language that I can't understand. It's not that they can't hear me. They can't understand me. You get this, all right? So I need to just lean upon the Spirit for understanding. Now, the right message will be our faith fuel. One reason why we lack so much faith in the church is because we don't have faith. Wait, say that again, Pastor. Once again,
One reason why we lack so much faith in the church is because we don't have faith. Like Eve was deceived by Satan, a lot of people in the church are deceived by Satan into giving this false emotional feeling and calling it faith. I'm watching people one by one be hurt by this emotional hope, this emotional wishing, this emotional desire, and calling it faith. They'll say something. I'm believing God is going to do this. And they'll take a verse with ignoring everything else and saying, I'm believing this is going to happen, and then they'll cling on to that. And you'll see them give up a huge part of their lives, and a lot of their decision-making is based on that, but not on faith. And then even in that, they're not really reading their Bible. They're just holding on to that false faith, which is not faith. In fact, the only way you refuel and fuel your faith, it says in Romans 10, 17, he says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Once again, very important. Okay? It says faith comes from hearing the message. So first of all, I got to hear the message. This shows why I need to go to church, but it also means what church I go to, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So then that puts me in the responsibility of checking. So first, I do have to hear it. Then I got to study to make sure it came from it. You see the two things that has to work in balance. Not, hey, I heard the message, it was so powerful, this person is great, I love it. And not, well, I don't go to church, I don't need it, I study it myself. All right? It has to be, I'm hearing the message, I'm writing it down, I know what I'm hearing, now I'm going to check it so I know it's coming from the word of Christ. Y'all get this? This is necessary, and he showed in the beginning, that's where faith comes from. We have a people walking around without faith, because we're doing stuff based on emotions. Plain and simple, we're doing things based on how we see it, not on what he says. And remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. So first of all, if Satan can't make you clearly just walk by sight, he distorts the faith and make you think you're walking by faith, while in reality, you're still walking by the senses. So now, what we're going to use to show us how to receive this word, okay, is the parable of the sower and the seed. Okay, now just to make it clear that you understand that the seed is the word. The ground that it lands on is us. Y'all get this? The seed is the word. The ground that it lands on is us. That's the first thing you have to understand. Secondly, what you have to understand, this is only talking about those who go to church to receive the word. Now, one, if you don't go to church, I don't care if you call yourself a Christian or not, you're in trouble. Plain and simple. Because you can't gain faith and you can't do what he says. There's a major problem for those who are just walking around with Christian as title only. Okay? Very dangerous. Okay? Secondly, for those who go to church, maybe go to sleep, don't pay attention, you're no different than that person who doesn't go to church at all, believe it or not. You might put some people in the shock. I'm here, but I have no idea what he's talking about. That's dangerous, because what you're going to find out, one of the big requirements of everybody receiving the word has to hear the word. And I'm not in the definition in the Bible is not talk about hearing just as you hear a sound. This means I'm receiving it. I may not immediately understand it, but at least I'm receiving it. I know what I received. You can write down the thing before you go into the understanding part, but at least you received it. So this is only for that group, which is implying that if I didn't receive it by not going or by going and not paying attention, I'm in trouble. Because there's four groups in this. Every Christian must strive to be in the fourth group, okay? But to let you understand, I'm going to give it this way ahead of time, the first two groups are in danger. They're in danger of deceiving themselves that they are receiving the word, but they're actually still headed to hell. You're going to see that. We'll explain that and we'll show that. Now, this parable is shown in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so you're going to see me using bits and parts of it when it gave more in each of them. And I'll just put in parentheses when they're completely the same and not giving anything new for you to go and read on your own. But we're going to break this down. So first of all, the sower and the seed breaks down those that attend church. Matthew 13, verse 18 says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. First of all, You must hear it first. That's where church comes in. And of course, you got the other things, small groups, Bible study. You should demand these other things. This is why, once again, FSG, part of our job is to provide it. I tell people sometimes when they have small groups, they're like, well, people aren't showing up. I'm like, still have it. If I stop it because people aren't coming, you know what I mean? Then there's a problem on my part because I'm supposed to provide it. So we provide it. People don't show up. We shut it down. And I mean, we just keep doing it each week. We got to keep providing. Why? Because it's the venue for you to receive. So it's not just church service. It's this coming together in order to receive. You get this. Okay. So we have this avenue for you to receive, especially in church service, Bible study, small groups, so on and so forth. And it's for it. It's for it for you to once again to receive this word. So, but you have to receive it to hear it. Okay. Secondly, it must be mixed with faith. Now, here's this circle that has to exist. I need the word to get faith, as we just seen, but then I receive the word with faith. What does that mean? First, let's read in Hebrews 4, verse 2. It says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith." This is a common problem we see today. We go to church to receive a word, not the word. Now, what do I mean by that? Usually when we go, the word we hear, if it doesn't fit our agenda or our desire, we do away with it. And you see us going right back to doing the foolish things we were doing in the first place. Those who go to receive the word, you see them immediately change their actions and the things that they do. Why? Because they heard the answer. Oh, wait, this is the way I'm supposed to do it. Did you get this? It's like me reading instructions on putting something together. And when it tells me to put this screw into this place, and I go back to say, nope, I'm going to put a nail in there instead. That's like me ignoring the word, the instructions. And that's what we do when it comes to word God. That means we didn't apply it with faith. Faith is, I believe you, God, so I'm coming to your word to do what you say. Others are going, I'm going to go to these other studies and find out what other words may mean so I can twist it and use it for my own agenda. Those people are in trouble. You understand it? Because plain and simple, those today who have the Bible can simply say, God, I went to your word to get what you said so I can apply it, period. That's how we're supposed to do it. You get this? Okay. So we must make sure we're going after it for that understanding. But to have that understanding, I must apply faith. I'm coming to hear so I can do, period. And then the doing is going to be the third part of this. We must apply what we hear. Many Christians are good studiers, man. They can study their word, write down notes. They can even quote scripture, but their lives show absolutely nothing of what that word they just studied. They do not show that compassion. They do not show that wisdom. They do not show that guidance. They do not show that strength. They show a whole lot of garbage. Their life, you would look at them and go, I don't know what they are. Do y'all get this? When he says in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and watch this and so deceive yourselves. You're going to have some scholars of the word. In fact, the people that used to go up against Jesus were scholars of the word, but they were deceiving themselves. He told them, y'all are going to hell. He made very clear because they had all this knowledge and knowledge puffs up. But the one thing they didn't do, what? Do what it says. The biggest part of your ministry is going to be what you do, not what you say. A lot of us get so puffed up in this. I'm going to show them. And we go and we tell them and we quote scripture at them and we poke it at them. I was telling in our New Year's series, the biggest ministry my wife did for me the one time is when I seen how she reacted in a situation, not her coming to me and say, hey, doesn't the Bible say? And the hard part in that is usually when we throw the Bible at somebody, you're actually pushing them away. For those of us who are that people, you know what I mean? We tend to have that mode of throwing scripture at them. Instead of us speaking and helping a person so they can see, we're too busy throwing at. And then we come off being hypocrites, but that's a whole nother thing. So the key is I'm going to receive it in order to understand it, to do what it says. Do y'all understand that? Now, for those that just hear the word only, this is the first parable of the four, the first part of the parable, or the first seed receiver of the four. Matthew 13, verse 19 says, when anyone hears the message, you're going to see that trend in all four of these. Hears the message. That means they receive it about the kingdom. Does not understand it. Now, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart, This is the seed along the path. So that's the person that goes to church. They kind of turn their face up, but that's where it ends. They heard what was said, but that's where it ends. See, and please don't mistake understanding it with your understanding. Okay? What he's showing us is do not mistake understanding it for your understanding, as in Proverbs 3:5. Remember, Proverbs 3:5 says, love the Lord with all your heart, but lean not upon your own understanding. This is where a lot of people are blowing it. They'll go, I know what the word says, but since I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it until I understand it. Not, I know what it says. See, that's the understanding it that he's talking about, right? If God says, when you come out the house, from now on, I want you to go left. Now, do you understand what he said? Yep, he told me every time I leave my house, go left. Now, here's where we get caught up. We'll go, but why would he tell me to go left when I know by experience when I go right, I don't hit traffic, it gets me there faster, it works out. So God got to show me why he wants me to go left before I go left. And that's where we blow it. Because now we're questioning God upon our own understanding, not do you understand what he said? Luke 8:11 through 12 adds more to this. This is the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Watch this. So that they may not believe and be saved. So this group is going nowhere. They're going to church, but they're headed to hell. He made it very clear, right? They may not believe and so be saved. This is a called group, a group that knows they're supposed to be in church. They have not really accepted Christ, and they're going to stay in that vicious cycle outside, thinking, I'm a good person. I go to church. Isn't that great? But they're headed to hell, and they stay there. They end up dying, and that's where they're headed. It breaks my heart because there's many, many who are just churchgoers, and they fall into this. What we see in Hebrews 11:6, it shows that we must earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him means I'm coming to him purposefully. It shows us in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You're going to church for your life purpose because he is the only life. Hopefully this group doesn't include anybody I'm talking to. Or if it does, you'll immediately change. That group is doomed. Second group, for those that hear the word, receive it. Okay, so they get it, right? But are not dedicated Christians. This group's in danger too. And this group is really in danger because this group, because of their extra steps, are fooling themselves. Matthew 13:20-21 says, the one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky place, so that means we're a rocky place. And, you know, I love it because he uses each one of these when a seed falls in a place that it's not supposed to be, because seed has to go into the ground and take root. And he says, this falls on a rocky place, is the man who hears the word. So he goes to church, right, to receive the word. So he's doing that. And once received it with joy. Okay, so now he even gone, wow. And he may even ask questions. He may even be interested in what he heard. He may even be able to sit in a round table and talk about it. All sounds great, but watch this. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. What does that mean? Because he's a rocky place, the word can do absolutely nothing to him. He just went through an emotional moment because it says when trouble or persecution comes, watch this, because of the word, he quickly falls away. That's incredible. It's not just when trouble or persecution comes, period, because real trouble and persecution comes because of the word, what we call spiritual crossroads. Things happen in my life. Now, what did you do? And this is desirable and undesirable things. A lot of us think we're spiritually stable and God's like, okay, now remember when that day of evil comes or when that time of testing comes. God tests day of evils. He warned us of each way creates a crossroad. What are you going to do? And you sit there and you watch Christians make wrong decisions, not because they were confused, not because they didn't understand, because there was no root. If my root was Christianity, the first thing I check is what I'm getting ready to do in line with God, period. That would be by far the first answer I must do. Other than that, you hear me go, well, I was happy when I did it. Well, I don't know. Well, I was confused. Well, I wasn't sure. Well, everything seemed to work out. And we'll give all these answers because we're scared. Man, if I take this other way, I'm going to lose this fleshly thing. You last only a short time. Quickly falls away. Well, I'm good right now. Why would I give this up? Because God said so. This is why it's so important for us as Christians, and we when we're ministering to people to become Christians, tell them, you got to give up everything. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this is a process you do every single day. Every problem, every source, everything you go through, you got to follow him daily. It means every decision you're going to make. I watched people this past year, 2020, go through some things, and they took the wrong road over and over again. They have confused looks and frustration. And it's not because they're confused and frustrated. It's because many parts of their lives, they really didn't have to cross this, or they didn't see that they have to cross this. And now when it's brought to their attention, they're wrong. Because why? You didn't deny yourself. Most of us are walking with God with us as the purpose. That will not work because we're the reason we're in the trouble we're in. He also showed in Luke 14:33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Why is he saying this? Cannot doesn't mean he's not going to allow you. He's saying it's impossible to be. Because the venues that are going to be used to either pull you away or stop you from receiving are going to be the things that mean the most to you based on you. Do y'all get this? When Eve saw that the fruit was good for eating, right now it became about Eve, and somehow it became about Adam, no longer about God. Neither of it said when both of them realized that God said not to eat it, then they didn't. They really checked with God because they want to make sure they didn't step on. We don't do that. Look at us today. We still live our lives despite God, not because of God. Y'all catch this? Cannot be my disciple. Those two groups, danger. That's why I have the previous two groups are still in danger of being condemned. The next group is saved, but will struggle during the age. Now, you have a lot of people that think they're this third group, if nothing else, but they're really the second group. So make sure, and that's why I'm saying you got to strive for the fourth group. But it shows us that all Christians must strive to be the fourth group in order to be truly blessed now and receive eternal life. See, that's the key. As a Christian, I want to be blessed now. Now, you'll get people that'll distort what that means. Because we think being blessed now and then going to heaven means I'm fleshly happy now. I'm fleshly comfortable now. I'm fleshly at peace now. All my desires are met. This is why prosperity preaching is so dangerous, because it caters to the flesh. With the idea of I'm going to get everything flesh fulfilled and then I'm going to heaven. And that's why you see people distorting the word. He hated the Nicolaitans, and there was another group called the Gnostics, and both of them came out with these things of the flesh is the flesh, do what you want, and they catered to the flesh. They catered to sex. They catered to multiple marriages or whatever it did. They overindulged self with this mindset of, but that's separate from my spirit, and I'm going to do what I want. These people were doomed. For him to say he hated the Nicolaitans in Revelations gives us insight and understanding. Hopefully y'all get this. Look how he explains this very clearly. Okay. Matthew 13, verse 22, he says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns. Now, this one will have roots. If anybody knows anything about gardening, it's still in the ground. And the reason why it has roots, it's among other things. There's other plants or other things that are allowed. Everybody say allowed. And we'll explain that. It says, is the man who hears the word, once again, same trend, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. We see adding to this in Mark 4:18-19, still others like seed among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, which we've seen just before, and watch this, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it, once again, unfruitful. Now, you may say this one is in danger, And that's why I'm saying this one's kind of iffy, because it says unfruitful. We've done the fruit of the Spirit, and the Bible shows very clearly a person without the fruit will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. So is this saying, this could even be leaning, saying this group is in danger also. I lean a little more towards this group is not making more fruit. So they have the fruit of salvation, but they're not making more fruit. But I could be wrong. This one could still be another condemned group. That's what I'm saying. Don't just say, hey, I'm this group, I'm safe. You want to be the fourth group, but we'll get there. Okay, but he's showing us and he's breaking it down. Here's the word, but they allow the worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. Now understand what he's saying. Why is it thorns? Because there's other things that matter equal to or more than God. That's what the thorns represent, right? Worries of life. Why are you worried? He says, don't worry. Matthew 6 gives us a whole section on don't worry, and you still got people living in worry. Deceitfulness of wealth. There are most of us. It'll either be a basic day to day, or it'll be me chasing after wealth, or it'll be me having wealth and living in my wealth. And then the desires for other things covers everything else. What I want, either equal to or more than God. So right now, they're sucking up resources. Anybody who does any gardening knows you got to get rid of the weeds, because they're taking resources away from the true plants. All right? Making it unfruitful. That part always scared me, the unfruitful, because we're supposed to produce fruit with keeping with repentance. So I'm not going to argue, hey, is this group in danger? Because you're saying, so then I need to get away from this group as I do the other two. Some may go, well, they produce fruit, they're just not producing any more fruit. Okay. Either which way, I don't trust this group, and you shouldn't either. But majority of people in church today, this is that group. And you can see it, because minute something important to them happens, they're challenged. And then watch their next move. Did you catch that? Watch their next move when something important to them is challenged. This is heartbreaking, because it's very common when this comes into play. This is why God says we must not allow our sinful nature to have a say at all. When he says in 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Now, the urging, of course, is that I'm telling you, you got to do this. Please hear me. And then he labels us on what we got to realize what we are, aliens and strangers. Why does he say that? Because when we come into the world, or when we're in the world, we see that the people are living for themselves, even when it's for good. People just want to be happy. They just want what's the best for them based on them. But it's no different than a drug addict. He just wants to make him happy. What does he want? More drugs. Now, anybody else knows that's bad. But to him, man, if you just gave me more drugs, you'd make my life so great. It's deeper, because we beat him up just for the drugs, while all of us are the same, because we live for our desires. We live for what we want. We live for what we like, not for what he says. But as aliens and strangers, we're totally here going, we live for God, period. So he says, as aliens and strangers, watch what he says, abstain from sinful desires. What does that mean? Keep away from desires that are not in line with God. See, worries won't touch you. Wealth won't touch you if you have it or if you don't. And desires won't touch you. Why? Because you'll always measure them with God. If it's not in God, you'll go, nope. It'd be a no-brainer. And see, it's as simple as somebody meeting somebody, and desire-wise, you me and this person connect. I really enjoy this person. I enjoy being around them. I'm sick of being lonely. However, this person has absolutely nothing to do with God. So the person who was following God would go, then we can't be, and they'd move on. The other person would go, but everything else fits. So we'll just ignore everything else, and I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to be with this person. You see how their desires outbid God? Now, where in the Bible does it say, hey, you know, if you're unequally yoked, you shouldn't get married. However, if it makes you really happy, if you really connect, then okay. Doesn't say that. Abstain from sinful desires. Why? They war against your soul. Now you have a battle. Your soul, which should be listening to your spirit, is now listening to your flesh. Those three groups are dangerous. plain and simple. Now, of course, the first two are clearly dangerous. This third group may be dangerous. And that's why, instead of me kind of even pushing this group as an example, I would say avoid all three and go to the four. Because that unfruitful really makes me nervous, and it should make you nervous also. So every Christian should be this fourth group. Now, one thing I'm hearing in a lot of Bible studies, when we're reading a lot of description of how we're supposed to be, I'm hearing more and more people say, you know, that seems unrealistic. I'm hearing more and more people say, you don't see that. And they're absolutely right. And instead of us blowing it off of this is impossible and I can't do it, we should be leaning upon I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We should be striving for what he made us to be with what we have. And stop giving in to what we can't, based on what we think we have. So here's a group we all should strive for. First of all, for those that hear, receive, understand, and always apply. Once again, hear, receive, understand, and always apply. Matthew 13, verse 23 says, but to the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Y'all catch that? So he's producing not just a fruit, a crop. That's the whole entire thing. And he's building multiple times what was grown. This is how, when I read the same thing and I study it and I get it and I follow this, next time I read it, I'll get more out of it because I'm maturing. But for those same people who are getting the same thing out of it or still lost on it, it's because there's something else you're doing. Mark 4 adds to it, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, watch this, accept it. This is in the Bible, got it. That's what they say. And produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So they not only hear it and understand it, they accept it. As long as it's in the Bible, got it. And then Luke 8:15 adds that even more. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Remember, your heart is your purpose. So it's the ones whose purpose is completely for God, period. They hear the word, retain it, and by persevering. Oh, very important. So first of all, it's the ones who accept it, right? That means this is God's word. Got it. That's all I need. Understand it. I just need to know exactly what he's telling me to do so I can do that. Not until I get it based on me. Nope, don't mix that up. What did he say? That's what I'm doing. Retain it. It's not something that next year when I go over the same thing, you're like, oh, I didn't know we're supposed to do that. Didn't we go over this 20 times before? Yeah, but that's old news. No, this is supposed to become a lifestyle. You know how they say you never forget to ride a bike? And just like when you learn math in order to learn the next level of math, to learn the next level of math, so on and so forth. So when you get to the higher level of math, you have the foundations to know the higher level of math. That's how this works. So I must retain it. And then he adds this other one, persevere. When you ever hear the word persevere, it means I keep going despite me getting beat up, falling, even seeming like I'm failing. I keep doing what he says. So I keep doing it. Accept, understand, retain, and persevere. So he shows us that when you truly receive and understand it, you love him. And only those who love him are going to be with him. Not those who just by word say, I love him. True love will be shown through. Watch what it says. First of all, Proverbs 3:5. We talked about this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I can't stress this enough, and this is very frustrating because you don't know how many times I counsel people and I see this happen with people, that leaning upon your own understanding is what's killing a lot of Christians today. I don't get it. I don't understand. And they're stopped. So receiving a word is meaningless. They're reading and they're going in circles, but they're trying to make it fit their understanding. And they won't budge until it fits their understanding. So they'll never mature, and some of them are headed for condemnation. I ain't going to lie to you. There's a lot of it I'm going, why would God do that? We see the one in 1 Corinthians 11 on hair. I don't understand it, but I understand what he's saying. So I'm doing what he says. I may never Keith understand it. And that's why I'm careful when you get somebody to go, hey, this is what God was saying in this, because some of them will distort it so much and you'll lean upon your understanding. He said, I didn't ask you to understand this. I'm telling you what to do. Right? Abraham, I told you to go sacrifice your son. Abraham said, okay. He didn't go, that doesn't make sense. All this time, you told me my blessing was going to come through my son. That would have been him. I'm not taking my son sacrificing him. That's exactly what we're all doing today. God, you wanted me to be happy. God, you wanted me to have this. God, why would you take this away from me? Because you're leaning on your own understanding instead of trusting him. Also, in Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, love the Lord, watch this, your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's every ounce of your purpose, all of you, whoever you are, and with everything you do. Love him with everything, right? So how do I love him? 1 John 2:3-6 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. It says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. Y'all can keep playing games of feeling religious and feeling good about yourself. Simply put, the word says this, is that what you're doing? Then you're a liar. He says, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5 says, but if anyone obeys his words, watch this, God's love is truly made complete in him. It's our evidence that we know him. It's our evidence that we love him. Overall, he's saying, this is how we know we are in him. This is our evidence. This is how, this is my evidence. Let me know I'm truly a Christian. He says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And what was the clear thing Jesus said? The world must understand I do exactly what my Father tells me. Jesus also said, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Let's come into 2021 truly receiving the word the correct way. It's another blessing. It is the blessing from God that benefits you. Stop going to church as if you're doing God a favor. And stop living your life trying to have the best of both worlds. Receive from him. Understand from him. Grow in him so we can eternally be with him. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word, for your guidance, and just for the opportunity. Help us, dear Lord, to truly receive what your word has given us. Help us to understand it, to accept it, to retain it, to apply it, and to persevere in it. Help us, dear God, not to allow any other thing to be a matter in our lives, to guide our lives, but for us to fully be led by you, as your son has done in our lives, dear Lord, and as he's shown us to do exactly what you tell us. Help us to go to your word just to receive what you say. Give us clarity on those things that we may not understand on your understanding, and help us to let go of our understanding. As we move on, dear God, we want to walk in your ways, following what you say to do at all times. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.